A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will restore to this place all the vessels of the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." The prophet Jeremiah answered the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people assembled in the house of the Lord, and said, "Amen, thus may the Lord do. May he fulfill the things you have prophesied by bringing the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles back from Babylon to this place. But now listen to what I'm about to state in your hearing and the hearing of all the people. From of old, the prophets who were before you and me prophesied war, woe, and pestilence against many lands and mighty kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace is recognized as truly sent by the Lord only when his prophetic prediction is fulfilled." Thereupon, the prophet Hananiah took the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it, and said in the presence of all the people, "Thus says the Lord, even so, within 2 years, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from off the neck of all the nations." At that, the prophet Jeremiah went away. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "Go tell Hananiah this, thus says the Lord, by breaking a wooden yoke, you forge an iron yoke. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, a yoke of iron I will place on the necks of all these nations serving Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, even the beasts of the field I give him." To the prophet Hananiah, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Hear this, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have raised false confidence in this people. For this says the Lord, I will dispatch you from the face of the earth. This very year you shall die, because you have preached rebellion against the Lord." That same year, in the seventh month, Hananiah the prophet died. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Lord, teach me your statutes.
Lord, teach me your statutes.
Remove from me the way of falsehood, and favor me with your law.
Lord,
take not the word of truth from my mouth, for in your ordinances is my hope.
Lord,
let those turn to me who fear you and acknowledge your decrees.
Lord,
let my heart be perfect in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Sinners wait to destroy me, but I pay heed to your decrees.
Lord,
from your ordinances, I turn not away, for you have instructed me.
Hallelujah.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children.
Verbum Domini.
Bring them here to me. In other words, bring everything you have to contribute to the offering. Bring them here to me, the Lord Jesus says. Whatever it is, however little it is, bring to me. What we bring to the Lord Jesus in faith is changed, transformed, not the same. In faith, that is, in confidence, trust in God. Whatever is brought into close proximity to the Lord Jesus is changed. That is what real prayer is, bringing our needs into close proximity to Jesus. Five loaves, two fish are all they had to offer. Obviously not enough for 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The disciples were ready to dismiss the crowds, the hungry crowds, into the villages to buy food for themselves. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." When the Lord is near, there is never a need to go away. They were ready to dismiss, but the Lord never dismisses. He draws close to us that we might draw close to him. And this is what prayer is: allowing God, watching God love you and love me. That's what prayer is. Communion with God, allowing God love you, watching God love you. Sometimes we think it's the opposite. Surely that's part of adoration, looking at God, beseeching God. But prayer is first and foremost allowing the God of the universe to take a good look at you and me, at our needs. Our needs are secondary. He wants to know our needs. The Lord Jesus attempted to go off to a deserted place alone to pray. After he had found out about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, 3 chapters before this in St. Matthew's Gospel, our Lord says of his cousin, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The mission of John the Baptist was to pave the way and to point to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In life and in death, John the Baptist still points to Christ. John's death pointed to Jesus' eventual death. Our Lord would often go to a deserted place by himself to pray. In other words, to go on retreat, to commune with his Father. Some of the most miraculous events in the life of our Lord took place after or during long periods of prayer. And tomorrow the church celebrates the feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord Jesus, when in the context of going up to a high mountain with Peter, James, and John, the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them. When our Lord prays, he's seeking communion with his Father. And also, he's giving us a model. He's showing us how to do it, how to commune with God. All 4 evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, account for the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And this miracle points to the institution of the Holy Eucharist, where our Lord gives us his flesh for the life of the world. This past Sunday was week 2 in a reading of 5 weeks of John chapter 6. So in a way, it's like a 5-day retreat of each consecutive Sunday going through John chapter 6 and our Lord's teaching on the Bread of Life discourse, how he desires to give us his flesh and his blood to feed us and to nourish us. John chapter 6 starts with the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. Then there is a miracle of the Lord walking on water, a declaration that he has command over all creation. The order of nature even obeys him. He walks on water. He stills the water. He calms the water. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Not just simply a worldly hunger, a natural hunger that we all experience through our stomachs, but a hunger for God, a thirst for God that our souls truly have. The compassion of our Lord drew near, and he attended to those in need in this gospel. The gospel says, when he embarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. A more literal translation for for my heart was moved with pity for them, would be something like this. He was sick to his stomach. His heart was moved with pity. His innards, his very stomach was twisted when he saw those in need. That's how much Jesus yearns for union, for communion with us. The insides of our Lord were twisted and wrenched when he saw the sick and those in need, even those with basic human needs, hunger, not just sickness, but hunger. On many occasions in the gospel, our Lord's heart was moved with pity, with compassion. Compassion is at the heart of the gospel. Compassion is to suffer with. It can mean that another person's suffering or heartbreak becomes your heartbreak. The Lord Jesus didn't see suffering from the outside only, but he enters directly into it, into his passion. And also those who suffer as well, everybody around him, he entered directly into their human experience of suffering. And compassion can change the way we live, can change our whole outlook on life and how we respond to those in need. Today is the memorial of the dedication of St. Mary Major, one of the four major basilicas in Rome. It was constructed in the 5th century, shortly after the Council of Ephesus in 431, that proclaimed that the Blessed Virgin Mary was the Mother of God, the Theotokos, the God-bearer. Our Lady embodied compassion. And throughout the Gospels, when she saw a human need, she was very attentive to it. And she was moved into action. Immediately after the Annunciation, the Visitation, she sees the human need. She visits her cousin, Elizabeth, who had just conceived John the Baptist. The miracle of the wedding feast of Cana. She saw a basic human need, that these people were in trouble. There is no wine left. A great trouble for a wedding feast when there's no wine. She saw that need, and she beseeches her son for a miracle. And we would do well to consider that the Lord Jesus sees us and sees our most basic needs. As those people sought him out when he went to a deserted place, and his heart was moved with pity for them, he changed his course of direction. And in this manner, he sees each of us too. What might be the most important concern that you would place at the feet of Jesus today? What might be that concern that you want to place before him? In prayer today, speak to him about your own needs. Speak to him with confidence. His heart is moved with pity still today, looking at you. And remember, prayer is allowing God, watching God, love you, and love me.